This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. You are on the line with Dean Beck.
Joining us is Brent Allen, Executive Officer of Living Positive Victoria. There is a lot going on ahead of World AIDS Day, December 1. Welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here as always.
Now, Brent, last weekend there was a special meeting between interested parties in and around PrEP. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. So VAC hosted a really important meeting that brought together the community activists working around pre-exposure prophylaxis. So those are mostly the face group guys who are organizing, and there's maybe three different groups at the moment. I'm not really sure, but Living Positive Victoria was there, Victorian AIDS Council, and the researchers who were behind the Vic PrEP trial.
I ran into Daniel McPhail and his flatmate Chris, who run the Facebook support group recently, and had a good chat with them. They're good people doing amazing work out of the goodness of their own heart, with no grandstanding.
Absolutely. It reminds me so much of the early days in terms of the response to HIV, when we had to organize because, frankly, due to homophobia and due to the stigma around HIV, no one was organizing. You know, it was just amazing to sit in the room and listen to these guys who are so passionate and believe so strongly in what they're doing, and for good reason. You know, PrEP works. We need to get the message out there, but even more so, we need to change the policy environment so that people don't have to rely on getting surreptitious access through, you know, international sites.
I couldn't agree more, because the current state of play with PrEP in this country is you've got to get it overseas unless you're on the trial. And the message, I don't think, is loud enough and clear enough of the importance of the 3-monthly visit to the doctor in the equation of equals ending HIV.
Absolutely. And one of the things we talked about in the meeting was the importance of not just the notion that you get on pills and that will protect you, but that PrEP is actually a program. Mm. And the program includes adherence. The program includes 3-monthly testing, not just for STIs, but just to make sure that your liver is doing okay, that your kidneys are doing okay, in the same way that people living with HIV have to get regular tests.
And what it would see is people more regularly getting checked up, and the potential decrease of STIs if everyone's on board in that program. But I think that message of testing or visiting a doctor every 3 months isn't loud enough in the current arrangement. And if it was approved on PBS and by the TGA, it would be a must-do anyway. You just have to do it.
Absolutely. And in the same way as an HIV-positive person, you can't not go to your doctor to get your blood work done if you want to get your scripts, and you've got to get your scripts. It's a really important point, and the meeting was about bringing people together who are all advocating for the same goal, the same vision, but from different points of view and with different strategies, together to make sure that all of our messages are reinforcing one another.
I'm very honoured to have been asked to host a community conversation on World AIDS Day about this subject. The recent guerrilla poster campaign really did shock this little state and this little city, and we got the conversation started. So it would be great to be able to continue that conversation on World AIDS Day in a community forum that's open to the public.
I agree. I think it's going to be a really important forum. And I'd really love to hear from your listeners what they think of the notion that it could be webcast, simultaneously webcast. I mean, it's happening in the middle of the day. It's a Tuesday. It's going to be at 11 in the morning. So lots of people aren't going to be able to make it, but maybe, you know, your listeners and others would be able to get back to us on air and let us know what they think about that.
Please.
Because if we get the support for it, I think we should webcast it. You can sit surreptitiously in your office and watch the webcast on PrEP. The more people we get on PrEP, the better. And if this means we have to pull out all the stops to get the advocacy going, let's do it.
You can email us onair@joy.org.au, or you can SMS 0427JOY949. Let us know, would you watch the webcast of the PrEP conversation on World AIDS Day that I'm hosting. Now, part of the panel of that will be yourself and Simon Ruth from Victorian AIDS Council. We'll have a couple of the participants of the trial. We'll also have Edwina Wright. We'll have a couple of the people that are doing the community work, I guess, as all part of that conversation.
Absolutely. I think for me, you know, everyone hears me spout off all the time. I think what's really important is that they hear from the activists in the community, that they hear that it's not just about agencies trying to champion this for themselves or for their constituencies. This is, you know, the people want this and they need it and they want to save their lives.
I'm just doing a little research online last night. The UK is having this same conversation. They're trying to get PrEP approved. And there are community activists over there setting up websites, working out how to get it overseas. It's not the perfect solution. And we could, why can we fast track swine flu stuff and we can't fast track this?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It is a bit about the price and the cost involved. I think you can no longer argue that it's efficacy about whether or not it's an effective prophylactic treatment. It is. It's been shown repeatedly around the world that it is. And you're right. We're not the only country struggling for this. And it's not just the UK. It's Canada. It's New Zealand. It's lots of other countries.
Brett Allen, we've had this message come through from Daniel who asks, can you please talk about how PrEP guards against STIs other than HIV? If it doesn't, why is PrEP being offered as an alternative to safe sex? Surely this is not safe sex if condoms aren't used.
Yeah, it's an interesting and it's a very good question. I think what's important for people to understand is that PrEP protects you against HIV.
Only.
It will not protect you against other sexually transmissible infections. But I want to challenge the notion that safe sex has been and is about condom use. That is not the case. There are lots of strategies to reduce your risks in terms of STIs. And it's important to know, and it's important for your listeners to understand, that the actual efficacy of condoms for use in anal sex is 70%. PrEP, in terms of HIV prevention, PrEP is nearly 100%. I feel awkward saying 100% because it sounds like it's such a definitive thing. But
probably
it's
a better way of saying is used correctly, not one single case of HIV transference has been recorded.
Yes, but you could say the same with condoms. But condoms break. Condoms spill. There are lots of problems with condoms. People use expired condoms. People don't understand there's micro tears and abrasions in condoms.
Or they use them with oil-based lubes.
There's lots of things. And for many STIs, it's actually not about anal sex. It's not about penetrative sex. Lots of STIs, gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, are all mostly transmitted through oral sex.
We're speaking with Brent Allen, Executive Officer of Living Positive Victoria. There is a vast array of events happening for World AIDS Day this year. It's a different format, and it's, I guess, inspired by AIDS 2014.
Absolutely. I think this year we're so happy to be trialing this new format where it's about having three strands of activities happening simultaneously, a bit like what the international conference was like, a leadership strand, a science strand, and a community strand. In that, people can cross back and forth and take part in what they want to take part in. And I think it's going to be a really exciting time because HIV, the World AIDS Day, is about awareness, but it's not solely about awareness. It's an opportunity to educate. It's an opportunity to become acquainted, not just with the science, but with those working in the areas, those volunteering for the studies. It's so much more, and I'm so glad that we're doing something more than just a public event.
It's also an opportunity for individuals to actually connect to the sector and engage with the issue. I think that's really important.
Absolutely. I want to go back to some of the things we talked about on Saturday. One of them was training PrEP hipsters, people on PrEP, up to being public speakers. It's one of the things that we do in Living Positive Victoria, and we've been doing for years and years. And actually getting those guys who are on PrEP, who want to be the advocates, who want to be the speakers about it. PrEP is still a contested issue for many people. And it's important that we equip them with the skills to be confident public speakers, to face down the stigma, to face down the opposition, and actually talk eloquently and with passion, as they do already, in a way that gives them confidence and resilience.
Some of the listeners may know that recently I appeared on Channel 10's The Project regarding the subject of PrEP, and I've been quite amazed by the reach that mainstream TV coverage has, because I've had people that I haven't heard from for, 10 years, who sent me messages of support, which was really lovely. Yeah. But I think from an organisational perspective, from your guys' end, a lot more work has to be done to try and drive that mainstream media coverage to get government on board and listening.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be an interesting challenge in this country, because so much of the epidemic is focused on the gay community, and that it's a blessing and it's a curse. Yeah. Because it is hard to get that mainstream coverage for it. But, I think if we start talking about what PrEP can do, not just for gay men, but what it can do for lots of individuals. I had someone recently who said, my daughter's going to go and do her volunteer abroad in Africa, and they're incredibly supportive about that. And it's really important that she goes on birth control prevention. But should I be considering PrEP for her as well? And I thought, that's a great question. If it was my daughter and I knew she was going to be sexually active in a high prevalence country or continent like Africa, I probably would be having that discussion with her.
This message has come through saying, Brent, you mentioned just before that there were other protective measures, but you didn't elaborate. Are you suggesting that we should stop using condoms in favor of PrEP?
Absolutely not. Condoms are highly effective for minimizing lots of forms of STIs as well as HIV, but we have to understand that they are not as effective as PrEP in preventing HIV. But if you want to have full protection around the sex you have, absolutely use other protective devices and risk reduction strategies, such as zero sorting, strategic positioning, which is the role you may take in terms of anal sex. There are lots of withdrawal. There are so many different strategies. I think it's important that as sexually fluent gay men, we know what all the strategies are, and we use them and deploy them to the best of our ability in the context and situations we're in. PrEP is one option. It is definitely not the panacea for everything, but it is an option, and it's a highly effective option.
This question has come through, and you're probably perfectly positioned to answer this. It's from Stephen, who asks, has the Living Positive Victoria or the Victorian AIDS Council made any noise regarding medical cannabis for those living with HIV and those with chronic pain?
I understand that definitely the Victorian AIDS Council has submitted position statements on this. I believe it was in our joint election platform,
thing,
I think, for the state election, that we did support the rollout of medical cannabis for people with HIV. And so our position would be that we do support it, and we want to make it available to not just people with HIV, but for people living with chronic conditions that do experience pain and everything else, fatigue, lots of stuff.
Now, back to the World AIDS Day activities. Apart from the community forum, which we spoke about regarding PrEP, there is a launch in the morning. There's, I believe, a media call, which is a separate issue. Who's turning up to the launch, do we know?
So I understand that the Minister for Health, Jill Hennessy, will be making an announcement. And then what we're going to do is we'll have a response to the announcement from people in the industry. So myself, VAC, Sharon Lewin from the Doherty Center, as well as Brendan Crabb or someone from the Burnett Institute. And I believe Bill Botel from the Global Friends.
And later in the day, we will be celebrating the achievements in science with a special symposium and awards for our young scientists, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to be a full-on series of events. There's also going to be a film festival, not that night, but leading up to the leading up to the event. It's going to be on the 28th of November. It's at the Lido Cinemas this year. It's going to be an opportunity for us to again recreate that spirit and vibe that we had at the AIDS conference, and look at some of the stuff that's going on in HIV, not just in our own backyard, but internationally.
And, of course, we should never forget the memorial that will be held at the Positive Living Centre. I believe our Equality Minister, Martin Foley, will be attending that.
Yeah, it's an important event, absolutely.
Brent Allen is with us. Brent, we're heading towards the Christmas season. Something a little mad, a little crazy is happening in support of your organisation.
Well, it is. I think it's in support of lots of organisations. Definitely one of the proceeds benefiting will be the Victorian AIDS Council, but there's a number of organizations. It's called the Sexy Santa Pub Run. It's happening in Daylesford, Hepburn. It's on the 6th of December at 2 o'clock. It's a fundraiser. There looks to be, you know, well over 100 people going to this. It's based on something that I had seen a couple of years ago in New York, where people dress up in their sexy Speedos or whatnot, and they dress as sexy Santa, and we do a pub run, and we make money for various charities.
Whatever. I think it's fabulous. Now, you've also put the call out for people to attend a special video shoot in support of Living Positive Victoria, I see.
I believe the shoot has already happened.
Oh, has it?
It has happened, but I'm delighted to let you guys, to let everyone know that the shoot was, I understand, I didn't get a chance to go, but was incredibly well attended, and we'll be using the footage that was shot to actually do a sort of montage of Living Positive Victoria, why you want to get involved, the things you can do when you do get involved.
Now, in other news, you've asked people to join your board.
Yes. So we have
our AGM coming up soon.
We have our AGM coming up on the 23rd of this month, which is a Monday night. It's going to be held at the Multicultural Hub, which is very close to Vic Markets. What's happened this year is we have 4 people who are on the board by acclamation, and because we haven't had the full suite or number of people running, they'll be we're inviting members to send in an expression of interest.
Put in a pitch.
Put in a pitch about why they want to join the board, and they'll be able to join the board through the selection process of those who will be sitting on the board. It's a great opportunity to join a really dynamic community organization. I think it's an opportunity for those that often sort of sit back and think, oh, well, someone else will do that, or, oh, I don't really have the skills they need. I think it's a tremendously good opportunity for people to see how community organizations run.
Is the board a little light on?
Well, we have 6 vacancies. We have a rotating board where 4 get elected every year for 2-year terms. So it's a cycle where the next 4 get elected. And what's going to be, we didn't have the full number of people running to fill the vacancies. So this is, as I said, an opportunity for those who are on the board by acclamation to look at the skill sets, see what they need to do to diversify themselves. What sort of skills do they need? What sort of population groups do they want to represent? And, you know, I think it's a great thing for someone who's keen to join a board in the community sector.
It's not a walk in the park, though, joining a community board.
Well, no, it's not. It takes work. It takes effort. I would strongly recommend that people go into it with their eyes open and understand that it's not about just going to a meeting once a month. There is background work that has to happen, but it's a great learning experience. And many people who join community organization boards, not just ours, but others, go on to join boards of companies and other businesses and other organizations. It's a way that people can give back to the community if, for example, they're struggling to give money or they're struggling to give heaps of time, you know, and it does take a certain type of temperament, a certain type of skill set, but all that sort of stuff in a community setting can be skilled up and it's offered to you as training.
Your organization has undergone a few changes in the last 12 months. How have those changes been implemented? How are How's the mergers going? And who are you with? Who's in? Who have you absorbed?
Who have we absorbed? Well, we haven't really absorbed anyone. We're still in negotiations with our partner organization, Straight Arrows, who their focus has been to represent HIV positive people who identify as heterosexual or bisexual. The negotiations are fantastic. They've been incredibly amicable. And we're at the sort of final stages now where we're starting to draft up what would be a new set of rules. We're starting to look at what's going to sort of be the business plan for a joint organization. We did one already this year, a joint business plan, but it actually is about melding the two together now and looking at where efficiencies can drive new programming.
Would that mean a special AGM to sort of officially merge the two?
Or? Yeah, it would definitely take that. Right. We're not at that stage yet, so we're going to go through our normal cycle of AGMs this year, both organizations. Yeah. But I would probably say that, you know, in the early to middle parts of the new calendar year, you're going to see a call out for a merged organization. I feel really confident that it's going to happen. Of course, I don't want to forecast that it will happen, because there's always something that could go awry, but at this stage, it's been such a delightful experience.
And the Positive Leadership Development Institute continues to go from strength to strength.
Absolutely, it does. We have now over 100 graduates from across the country in New Zealand, Japan, the UK, who are taking on leadership roles in many different forms. We now have 27 different partners in the Institute, and it's at a stage now where the waiting list is well over 100 people to get in. And every time we offer another course, there's more people who join the waiting list because we can only take 12 at a time. It's hard to describe the effect that the course has on people. They do feel renewed sense of energy. For those who are new to the sector or new to being HIV positive, it gives you a sense of place and belonging that lots of us struggled to find over very many years.
Which reminds me, I noticed that there is a new Phoenix workshop coming up very shortly. And if you are newly diagnosed, that is the place to be.
Absolutely. That workshop is probably one of the most important experiences anyone who's diagnosed with HIV can take part in. I was, in fact, just this morning was at a chronic and complex care coordination meeting for the Commonwealth. That's a lot of C's in a word.
You try saying that.
Yeah. And one of the things that they were all wanting to know from myself and from others was, you know, what happens to someone who is recently diagnosed? How do you get them to not go down this sort of deep, dark hole of depression? And I talked about, you know, something like newly diagnosed workshops, you know, how it lifts people out. It makes them feel like they're on top of the virus instead of the virus being on top of them.
I can't let you go without addressing this message that has come through. You're very eloquent, Brent, but this listener is most uncomfortable with how the rhetoric around PrEP is being framed. It should not be used instead of other measures. The amount of times I encounter men on apps who expect me to have bareback sex with them because that they're on PrEP is uncanny. These people need to understand that bareback sex on PrEP is still not safe sex.
Yeah, I think it's important. It's an important message. Safe sex was designed by gay men early in the epidemic as a response to the
epidemic.
There
are many that would argue that bareback sex with PrEP is safe sex. And I think this is where the issue around the rhetoric is upsetting some people.
Yeah, it depends. I think one of the things we have to do as a gay community is start interrogating what do we mean now by safe sex in the new millennia.
And I think it's because the paradigm shift of 30 years is so vast, this new space, it's taking a lot of people a while to really get their heads around it. I totally get that.
Absolutely. When I first started working in HIV, you know, 25 years ago, safer sex is what it was called in the Canadian context, was about preventing as much as possible HIV infection. It's come to mean different things and in different ways. And I think we have to listen to community. I think we have to listen to the voices of gay men and start articulating and representing back to them. What do we mean now? And do we mean prevention of all STIs? Does safe sex also include things like potential violence? What do we mean by safe sex now?
Get along to the PrEP Forum. It is the Community Activation in Conversation Forum that we'll be having at 11 a.m. on December 1, World AIDS Day, at the Doherty Institute. Brent Allen, thank you very much for joining us on the line today.
A pleasure as always. Thanks, Dean.
You can find out more about all of that at livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.